Militiamen with the Mahdi army, followers of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, mostly vanished from the streets of Basra earlier this week after he ordered them to lay down their arms. Iraqi authorities have now lifted their curfew, but at least 400 people were killed last week during the fighting between al-Sadr militants and Iraqi and coalition forces in Basra and Baghdad. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has praised Prime Minister Maliki's efforts to tackle Shia militias in Basra, the center of Iraq's oil industry. Iraqi lawmakers say Iranian officials helped broker the new truce with al-Sadr's group when Iraqi politicians traveled to Iran last week to ask authorities there to urge an end to the violence. But because Prime Minister Maliki had earlier vowed that he would see the Basra campaign through to a military victory, some critics now view the negotiated outcome as a serious blow to his leadership. For example, British journalist Jonathan Steele, senior foreign correspondent of The Guardian, and author of a newly published book, Defeat, Why America and Britain Lost Iraq, says the actual conditions for the agreement between the two sides are unclear.
What is not entirely clear is whether the ceasefire is unilateral by Muqtada al-Sadr or, as seems probably more likely, there was some kind of deal done, which I think essentially gives him what he wants. In turn for the ceasefire, the government side seems to have agreed to stop this policy of arresting Sadrist local commanders, and even they may have agreed to release some of those who are currently being held. And that's been a long-standing demand by Sadr. So if the government has conceded that, which appears to be the case, then it's quite a victory for al-Sadr.
But Kurdish journalist Omar Sheikh Mus sees the situation altogether differently.
I think it's exactly the opposite, actually. I think that al-Maliki feels that he's much stronger now than he was before, and that's why he went forcefully against the militias in Basra, including the al-Mahdi army. It has to do a lot with the smuggling of oil and the control of the southern areas, especially Basra city. In my opinion, Muqtada al-Sadr must have felt that he was cornered, and it's harming him a lot to continue with the fighting. That's why he agreed to a ceasefire. Otherwise, in my opinion, he would not have done so. The other thing is that it's quite possible that Sistani and the other Shiite leaders put a lot of pressure on him to agree to the ceasefire.
Mr. Sheikh Mus refers to the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, spiritual leader of the Iraqi Shia, who actually lives in Iran. But Nadia Belbesi, diplomatic correspondent for Al Arabiya Television, says the Arab press has an utterly different take on the situation.
Basically, they think the winner of it is Iran. And Iran has made the decision that it's better for them to support the Iraqi government because in the long term, they don't want to see chaos and inner fighting between the militias.
Journalist Jonathan Steele notes that both the al-Maliki government and the Bush administration may be overconfident because their assessment ignores the fact that the Mahdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr has not been weakened in any serious or permanent way.
They've said they're not going to give up their weapons. So we're really back to square one where we were last week before this assault happened, except that there does seem to have been this political concession by the government in return for Sadr announcing a ceasefire and calling on his militiamen to come off the streets but keep their weapons concealed.
Nadia Belbesi of Al Arabiya Television says the situation in Baghdad is also tricky because Muqtada al-Sadr still commands the loyalty of Shia residents in the huge slum of Sadr City. Ms. Belbesi suggests the calm may be only temporary.
They withdraw from the streets, but it doesn't mean they're being disarmed, and it doesn't mean that they're going to disappear. They will be still a force to be reckoned with, but I think the major player, the one who pushed the button, so to speak, is Iran. So if they wanted them to be back on the streets, they will. The Arab press has been blatant in accusing Maliki government of being an Iranian stooge.
These developments come just a week before U.S. Ambassador to Iraq Ryan Crocker and General David Petraeus are scheduled to testify before Congress on the success of the U.S. military surge and on the al-Maliki government's political progress. While the impact of the recent intra-Shia fighting is as yet unclear, many observers agree that the surge of U.S. troops has helped to weaken al-Qaeda in Iraq and has paved the way for some degree of political progress. Meanwhile, British Defense Secretary Desmond Brown has announced that further reduction in British forces in southern Iraq has been postponed, pending a review of the security situation in Basra. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.